Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, some calling to get rid of the home run derby, that it's played out, that it's worn out, it's stale. But a dramatic bandana kind of a night for Bryce Harper, as he wins the home run derby in D.C. and the main event on Tuesday night. But Bryce Harper, whose dad was the hero, that and the headband of Bryce Harper and the beard of Bryce Harper's dad, that collective getting it done there. But Harper with 9 home runs at the end to win the home run derby, which sets up for a main event involving many Red Sox in the All-Star game. But I wanted to get to the great debate. And the reason I want to get to the great debate is because there's a new layer to this story. Now, the debate is to use strategy or not to use strategy in the sport of baseball. And thus, it is the great debate of our time. And this is very important. So we need to take up very valuable airtime late at night here on WEI because of this. Now, what better time to chat than here, right? The All-Star break going on, right? You got to wait till the All-Star game on Tuesday night. Now, the reason I bring this up is there's two things involved here. Now, David Ortiz became the latest big name to chime in on the defensive shift. He did this over the weekend. I don't know if you were paying attention or not, but you might have missed it. But David Ortiz was whining about the shift. He was asked about it, so it's not like he opened up the conversation. But he was doing interviews. He was part of an All-Star celebrity event that took place on Sunday, and David Ortiz was asked about the defensive shift. He said that the shift has taken away like 500 hits from him, which is probably not true. He also said that fans should stop focusing on batting average, and instead, you need to look at power or see who's getting on base. Like the batting average doesn't matter, and there's a lot of people that have been singing that song for a while. Big Poppy also revealed that he doubts that Major League Baseball will actually do anything different to ban the shift. There have been calls by some prominent people in baseball to get rid of the defensive shift, that it is a plague on the game. And so Ortiz doesn't think that's going to happen. Now, among those that have complained include, among active players, Jackie Bradley Jr. And he was asked about this last week, I believe he was asked about this. And Jackie Bradley Jr., JBJ, he complained that it is not so simple to beat the shift. Woe is me. All right, so let's discuss. Now, the question here, you watch the Red Sox all the time. You listen to the games here on the station. And you watch other baseball games. The question is, we'll frame it this way. Do you have any empathy for Major League Baseball players who whine about the defensive shift, the woe is me crowd of Major League Baseball, I call it? Now, my perspective here, you've got the fruit, the degree of difficulty, and the slippery slope. And I'm going to attempt to link these together, and we'll take some phone calls on this and the All-Star game in general. But we'll begin with this. On my overnight show over at Fox, this has been an issue we've talked about a fair amount over the last couple of months. And maybe even the last year or two. But lately, some of the things that popped up. Matt Carpenter, who's playing for the St. Louis Cardinals right now, played pretty well the last couple of months. Matt Carpenter was someone who said, hey, we should outlaw the shift. He's advocating outlawing the shift. He says that Major League Baseball teams should be required to have two defenders on each side of second base. Then you've got Scott Boras, the super agent of the Stars, who said the defensive shift is discriminatory against left-handed hitters. Yeah, that's when I think of discrimination, I think of the defensive shift. right at the top of the list. But he did, you know, the numbers point out that left-handed batters face the shift a lot more. In fact, according to state-run Major League Baseball data, left-handed batters in baseball, they face the shift over 30% of the time compared to less than 9% for right-handed batters. That is data from so far in the 2018 season. Now, full disclosure here, this has been low-hanging fruit for me. It's a pet peeve of mine. Major League Baseball has done a number of stupid things in the last 5 to 10 years, many of them directly tied back to the tentacles of Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. Most notably, the commissioner has banned pretty much any play that involves physical contact. The Buster Posey and Chase Utley rules, respectively, suck, right? And any kind of physicality in baseball, they have essentially tried to neuter. The wussification of Major League Baseball, it's ridiculous, right? And Buster Posey wasn't in the proper position with the Giants. He got run over and trucked and got hurt. And then Ruben Tejada, the Mets infielder, I was at that game, a Mets-Dodger playoff game, and Chase Utley with an aggressive slide. Chase Utley's a bad baseball player at this point, but that was an aggressive, edgy play, and the Mets infielder was in the wrong position, and because of that, the commissioner overreacted, and he changed all these rules, and the committees, the blue ribbon panels get together, and it's embarrassing. That's embarrassing, and you talk to old-time baseball people, they agree, it's ridiculous. You know, the takeout slide at second base, the play-at-home plate, while it's not completely outlawed, the play-at-home plate, it's been altered greatly. And that's the doing of this commissioner. His fingerprints are all over that. And so far, I mean, he's avoided the temptation to incriminate the defensive shift. So far. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. And you know, every year at the end of the baseball season, they, you know, in the offseason, at the winter meetings, they get these panels together and they go over, you know, all of the minutia and all this. And so it's not out of the realm of possibility that circa 2019 or 2020 that they get rid of the defensive shift. Now, part B of this, my position is there's no need to add more bureaucracy. You don't need another layer of rules in baseball. Right? You don't have to be Jerry Remy or Dennis Eckersley or one of these other broadcasting baseball wonk type guys to know how to beat the shift. I pointed this out before, but I beat a dead horse here. It is so simple. Someone who never played the game of baseball, here's what you do. You hit the ball the other way. You attempt to hit the ball the other way, or you bunt. Do that enough, and it's like a bad magic show. Presto. Abracadabra. Eventually, what's going to happen? That's right. The shift is going to go away. Now, when I heard Jackie Bradley Jr., JBJ, and other players complain, they say, you know, some version of it's not that simple. It's not that simple to hit the ball the other way. When I hear that, I find it amusing. Right? There is supposed to be a degree of difficulty in the sport of baseball. I think that's still the case, right? Just because it's not easy does not mean it can't be done. Right? And many of these things, maybe they're not taught anymore. I don't know how it goes, but these are things that at one point were the foundation of baseball. Things that you learned if you ever played Little League baseball. Choke up on the bat. Adjust your batting stance, right? Rudimentary basics of baseball that either these players were not taught, or I think what's more likely the case here is it's more of an issue of players just being bullheaded. They know how to do these things. They just don't want to change. Right? They're very stubborn. I can respect that as someone who is a stubborn human being myself. And the counter argument is that Major League Baseball does not pay for singles. They pay for extra base hits. You got to hit doubles. You got to hit home runs, and mostly home runs. And even if it helps your team win, even if by adjusting your batting stance, moving up in the box, opening up your stance a little bit, choking up on the bat, and just trying to make contact and hit the ball away from the shift. Even if you do that, it helps your team win. You're not going to get paid for it. So guys don't want to do it. They don't. I was told a couple of months ago by a friend of mine who's a broadcaster for a team that there is a player on his team that has told people with the organization that he's not going to hit behind runners. He doesn't believe in that. He's not going to try to, you know, advance runners, the fundamentals of baseball, because he's not paid to do that. He's paid to hit home runs, paid to drive in runs. And this is a pandemic around baseball. Now, the last thing on this, we'll take some phone calls here because the phones are lined up. The parting shot on this. Now, former MLB coach Tim Flannery had a great line, and it bears repeating here. He said the baseball people should also ban the curveball because guys have trouble hitting it. When there was talk about banning the shift, the defensive shift. And that brings up a greater point because this is the old slippery slope argument, right? The defensive shift, I was reading on one of the baseball nerd websites because that's how I roll, that the defensive shift has been around since at least the 1950s. It has become, I will agree, it's become in vogue more today, right? So it's, you know, you can say it's Madden, Joe Madden with the Cubs, that it's his doing there. But baseball wonks, you know, the same crowd who love the exit velocity, the launch angle, they are also obsessed with the defensive shift. And many players have lost hits because that's how it works, right? The defensive shift is effective because players do not adjust, right? The slippery slope argument is, okay, if you're going to get rid of the defensive shift because it's tough for players to adjust, if you want offense to go up, if you want production to go up, how about you get rid of baseball gloves, right? Wouldn't it be much easier to get hits if the other team didn't have a leather mitt on to try to catch the ball? I would think so. I think it would be much more difficult. How about you take away a defensive player? How about instead of having the eight defensive players and the pitcher, how about instead of that, you take away one of the outfielders? You just have two outfielders. That would be much more difficult, right, for the defense, and it would be much more easy for the offense to get hits. I mean, there's other things you can do. It's like, how far do you want to go? How far would you like to go down the rabbit hole? This is something, another one of those things that does not need to be changed. It does not need to be changed. And the fact that you know the cheat code and guys are unwilling to do it, and now there's buzz about changing it, so far it hasn't happened, it's annoying, is what it is. All right, if you would like to comment on that, we will open up the phone lines here at WEEI, and producer Drew, standing by, anxiously awaiting your contribution, 617-7797-937. That's 617-7797-937. You can be part of the show. Also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. That is the call-in number to the phones we go. That's actually the Twitter handle. Let's go to Ralph, who's hanging out in Jersey, and he's listening to WEEI. What's going on, Ralph?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Great show tonight.
Thank you, Ralph. What you got, bud?
I just wanted to talk about how I think the MLB really needs to try to go back a little old school how the game was played, the All-Star game, because there shouldn't be a representative from every team, because if you're trying to draw fans, you want to have the best talent on the field. You don't need guys after Machado gets traded next year from Baltimore, you're going to have guys from Baltimore, because you want to draw fans in. You want to have the best players on the field of all time.
Hey, Ralph, Ralph.
Game.
How old are you, Ralph?
14.
14, look at you. You want to go old school, Ralph? Old school is like when you were 7. That's old school, but you want to go back to the olden days, right?
No,
you want
I'm talking like old, like,
yeah,
when the game actually mattered in the 80s. And
well, technically, Ralph, your entire life the game has mattered, right? Because they changed the rules. You know, what year were you born? You were born in, 04? Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah. So even before you were born, your entire life up until this year, Ralph, the All-Star game did matter for home field advantage. This is the first year. This is going to be weird for you. This is the first year it doesn't matter. Your entire life, Ralph, it's mattered. Now it doesn't matter anymore. Now it's really just an exhibition game.
Yeah, but way back it was American League versus National League. Now you got guys who aren't even playing in who go, or guys who most don't want to be there.
Well, buddy, it's still American League versus National League. I mean, you know, they haven't changed that part of it. But yeah, guys don't want to go because they, you know, they'd rather go on vacation to the Bahamas and hang out.
Yes.
You know, frustrating. Look at you.
And I also think there's a large gap between the talent between the American League and the National League. I mean.
Oh yeah, look at the you saw the lineups, Rob. Look at the National League. Thanks for the call, buddy. Look at the National League outfield and the American League outfield. You've got like one side. You talk about being weaponized. The American League All-Stars, the National League All-Stars. The comparison would be if you were to compare the American League and the National League All-Stars, and my man Ralph knows this because he's a baseball guy, but the National League All-Stars come at you with a butter knife and the American League All-Stars have a machete. And that would be the difference in the matchup. It's Ben Maller and you late night. How about Ralph? That's an up-and-coming caller. That's a kid caller. And as a former kid caller to sports talk radio myself many years ago, I have developed. I've reached my potential of doing night radio. I reached my pinnacle of broadcasting. All right, but the phone line is open up after Ralph there. 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. You can be part of all of this, and we'll continue with the conversation about the All-Star festivities and the shift, the dreaded shift in baseball. Later on, we will mix in what I believe is the Belichickian kiss of death. We will work our way towards that. We'll get to it, and we'll do it next. We're talking about the debate of our times, the defensive shift. There's actually a campaign underway, a grassroots movement to get rid of the defensive shift because left-handed batters are, according to Scott Boras, the super agent, it is discriminatory towards left-handed hitters. We've heard Matt Carpenter, the Cardinals, advocate for outlawing the shift. JBJ, Jackie Bradley Jr. complained it's not simple to beat the shift. And other players have voiced in on this. I brought it up because David Ortiz over the weekend was asked about it. He doesn't think baseball is going to get rid of the defensive shift, but he claimed that it took away 500 hits. He also said when we watch baseball now, we shouldn't be worried about batting average. Instead, we should be worried about power and all that. To the phones we go, and let's say hello to Luke, who's up first here in Mansfield. What's going on, Luke?
What's up?
You tell me, Luke. You're on WEI. What's up?
No, I'm for keeping the defensive shift, and players need to learn how to hit the ball the other way, or hit the ball the other way. And I agree with that kid, that very intelligent kid, Ralph, that they need to go ultra. Baseball needs to worry about people getting on base, running the bases, sealing bases, and executing the perfect bunt. Because I think that is fun to watch.
Yeah. All right, Luke. Well, here, listen. The thing about it is, The pendulum has shifted so far into the direction of the home run. I love home runs. I was talking to somebody last night about this, one of my buddies in radio. We were talking about, like, you watch baseball, and here's how I remember baseball. Baseball, maybe I'm completely wrong on this, but years ago, it used to be teams had two or three boppers, guys that tried to hit home runs, and that was pretty much their job in the lineup. And the rest of the lineup, especially American League teams, there were guys that could hit for average. There were doubles hitters, guys that could run, could get on base, create havoc. And now it's all about just hitting home runs. You got 7, 8, 9 hitters that are attempting to hit home runs. The pendulum has gone all the way in the direction of the home run. Let's go to Tom, cruising around, driving around here late night on WEI. Hello, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, Ben? How you doing?
All right, Tom. If I was any better, I would have a solution for the defensive shift. But I do, Tom. I do have a solution. What's your solution?
No, I was going to compare it to the NFL, and I think that David Ortiz is onto something. I think you're going to see some rules changed, and the NFL makes rules about where you can line up and how, you know, you're going to have a certain amount of guys in the line. And I think the MLB is going to go that way. I can see it happening in the near future.
It's not necessary, Tom. You don't need to do it. Again, as we've talked about, thanks for the call, but we've seen how to beat the defensive shift. We've seen the techniques needed to beat the defensive shift, and it's involving if you simply attempt. I know it's not easy, but life's not supposed to be easy. It's your craft, your profession. You attempt to bunt. You move up in the batter's box. You adjust the way you hold the bat. The simple nuance of the game, you do that enough and you practice it enough, it will become easier for you. And then as a result, amazingly, maybe I'm completely wrong on this, amazingly, the defensive shift will go the way of the dodo bird, the woolly mammoth. It'll disappear, right? And occasionally it'll come up. But like players like, for example, Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper is so stubborn, he is not going to change anything. That's why he's batting .214. And yet you watch him in the home run derby, you know, when they're grooving pitches in, and he's like Paul Bunyan, hitting home runs all over the place. All right, if you would like to be part, the number 617-779-7937. That's 617-779-7937. Also, if you have something you're curious about, and I have a pretty good group that emails me, but the email address here, if you want, and I'll be in on Wednesday night, this being All-Star Week, so I'll be in on Wednesday night. But if you would like to join the fun, the number is, or the email address rather, is ben.maller, that's ben.maller at weei.com. And if you have a suggestion or something you want to add, you can email me or just send a message on Twitter. Right? That's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. Chet has a conspiracy theory on the home run derby. He says Bryce Harper plays in Washington, D.C., and the endorser of the home run derby is T-Mobile. Home run derby in D.C., sponsored by T-Mobile. Chet believes those are the ingredients needed for a conspiracy. And Chet, let me tell you something. I like your thinking. I'm not against that. I am not. If I remember correctly, the great NBA slam dunk conspiracy, which I uncovered back in my website days when I was a bleeding heart blogger back in the days, but was about Blake Griffin. And if I remember correctly, Kia was the sponsor of that slam dunk contest in which Blake Griffin won. And if I remember correctly, the way that went down, Blake was one of his big sponsors was Kia, I believe, before the event. I don't think it happened after. I think it was before the event, if I remember on that. The problem, though, Chet, with this, and I've met Chet, but the problem with this conspiracy is how do you rig it where Bryce Harper is down by 9 home runs with a minute to go and then ends up tying and then eventually winning in bonus time? I mean, that's a pretty extreme writing job. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know the whole creative license and all that, and I guess they call it, what, poetic license? I think that's what they call it there. I get all that. But that layer of drama, I mean, you can enhance it so much, but what if he had finished one home run away from winning in the home run derby? What would the story have been then? Hey, we'll take some more phone calls here all the way up till 1 a.m. That's it, all the way up till 1 a.m. there. It's my version of the Maller Marathon for those that are sleep-deprived, like myself. That's how it goes. We will press on here. We'll get to that Belichickian kiss of death, much more also on the great debate of our times, the defensive shift. We'll get to all that. We will do it next.
You're locked into Late Night with Ben Maller on Sports Radio WEEI.
provided by one Malcolm Butler. He is now a Tennessee Titan. Malcolm Butler has yet to play with the Tennessee Titans because they haven't played yet. They're starting training camp. All these teams starting training camp soon. But Malcolm Butler telling Peter King. Actually, it wasn't Peter King. It was the MMQB, which used to be Peter King's thing. But now it's somebody else doing the MMQB. But Malcolm Butler commenting on Mike Vrabel, the former Patriot, now head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And without even realizing he was doing it, Malcolm Butler managed to put a jinx on the head coach. This is not a death blow, but it is the kiss of death. He compared Mike Vrabel, who has only been around with the Titans for a few months, and said, the quote was, "You can tell Mike Vrabel played for Belichick because you can see some of the similarities. They're about winning the way New England is about winning." And there's more there. But the headlines on the stories are Malcolm Butler compares Mike Vrabel, says he's similar to Bill Belichick, some version of that, which is, I believe, the kiss of death. Malcolm Butler got $61 million, not all of that guaranteed, from the Tennessee Titans. And the Titans and Patriots will get together November 11th. That will be the week of Malcolm Butler, Bill Belichick. Belichick will be asked why he didn't play Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. He'll say, "We've moved on. I'm not here to talk about last year. We wish Malcolm Butler the best." Malcolm Butler will be asked about why he didn't play in the Super Bowl, and then he will rip Bill Belichick. That's how that's going to go. Now, speaking of former Patriots, did you see what's going on with another former Patriot assistant, Matt Patricia, who is now the big man on campus with the Detroit Lions? He has taken some Belichick tendencies, and he is running. He is running with those. Report out of Detroit, Matt Patricia has adopted Bill Belichick's media policy, which is essentially not to talk to the media. Isn't that Bill Belichick's strategy, is to not say anything of substance? I believe that is the strategy of the Patriots. So anyway, the report out of Detroit says that Matt Patricia has essentially advised his players to say nothing. At the very strict rules there, the Belichickian-like rules for the Lions. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Blind Scott, hanging out in the North End, and he is next here on EEI. What's going on, Blind Scott?
Hey, yeah, the Tennessee Titans and Detroit Lions players, they suck, so what are they going to say anyways? They got nothing to say. They're not from Boston,
I hear you, man.
Hey, when that guy Rusev called in your show, that was awesome. That is his real name, Rusev, though. I know he calls in under another name. That was like one of the best times ever. I really enjoyed that. Dude, I got catfished on a dating website earlier tonight. It kind of hurt my feelings. So I really appreciate that you, I took my call. They gave me a phone number, and I called somebody up, and it wasn't them. And then I threatened the police on them. And it was just a bad scene. So, thank God for sports. Hey, Mookie Betts, he's been playing so good, this guy. He's like the most amazing player in baseball. He deserves the most money out of anybody. I was talking to somebody today. They said baseball's dead. Nobody's going to baseball anymore. That's not true. Baseball is very much alive. If you ever go to the games, there's so many idiots there drinking and getting wasted. Just because people don't watch it on TV doesn't mean that people aren't going to pay for advertising to advertise on TV. And people will still go to the games and buy the tickets. You know what I'm saying? Hey, we can't take any more calls from anybody in Maine. People from Maine are so stupid. They ruin the show. We don't even consider Maine part of New England. That's Canada. Those are all French Canadians. Those people all have red hair, and they're ugly and everything, and they marry their cousins or whatever. I'm just sick of this. Hey, we need to head out to Kelly's Roast Beef after the show, maybe grab some scallops or something, do something,
Yeah, I understand. Absolutely. Well, that was one of the better efforts by Blind Scott there. A helter-skelter attempt. And I give Blind Scott credit because he realized if he paused, that would have been it. If he had paused, that would have ended the phone call. That Drew would have just hung up on him, and he just kept going. He gave Drew, producer Drew, no avenue to end the call. Now, that's a veteran technique. Veteran technique by Blind Scott. Wow. All right. Well, the All-Star game is Tuesday night. I will actually be back, I believe, on Wednesday night, tentatively scheduled to return for your dancing and dining pleasure on Wednesday night for some late night shenanigans. Oh, I just saw, look, Cyrus Jones of the Patriots on Instagram posted a picture, legalize it for weed. Yeah, why not? Sure. Well, there you go. He's leading the campaign to legalize marijuana in Massachusetts. That's going to happen eventually. All right. Thanks to our executive producer, Drew Johnson, for keeping us on the radio and somewhat on time. I am on time, Maller, by the clock, for the clock, unless I'm not, occasionally. All right, follow me on Twitter, at Ben Maller. If you are so inclined, I have the Maller Marathon, which will go all night long. But whatever you do, keep it locked right here on WEEI. Have a good night.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.